A very large chunk of the Bible is taken up with the whole story of the prophecies about the restoration. What could have happened when the exiles returned? You've got a lot of later Isaiah, a lot of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, some of the minor prophets are all talking about this same narrative, about what could have happened when the exiles returned. So I think that had they stuck to God's program and returned as he asked in faith, they could have restored some kind of messianic kingdom. They certainly could have restored Israel as the kingdom of God. A lot of the prophecies that we perhaps are familiar with as talking about the future kingdom of God on earth could have been fulfilled at that time. But they weren't, and so they were reinterpreted, they were delayed, they were reapplied to the last days. So when you read the records of what actually happened at the restoration and compare it with the prophecies about the restoration, you see quite a few points of similarities, and yet you also see how Israel or Judah failed to use the potential made possible. And this is the tragedy, and this is the warning for us, not using the potential made possible. God has mapped out certain things for us to do. Ephesians 2:10, there are good works which God before prepared for us to do. That's why in Colossians 4, Paul sends a message to one of the brethren and says, I want him to pay attention so that he fulfills the ministry which he has received. So we each have a potential path before us, full of good works and things that we can be doing for the Lord. But if we stray from that path by self-interest, by laziness, by self-absorption, by a desire to impress others in secular terms, by our achievements, career, etc., then we will miss that. We will absolutely miss the boat. And we will miss that wonderful sense you can have in life that everything is going really well because I am going that way that God has intended. We are doing those good works that he intended from the foundation of the world. So, when you come to, for example, Nehemiah chapter 3, we read about how different people all around the wall made repairs. But the word for repair is really the word used for strengthened. They strengthened their hands, and their hands were strengthened. Read that in Nehemiah 2, and the restoration prophecies in Zechariah 8 are talking about that. And this enabled them to strengthen or repair the walls. So Isaiah 54 talks about, verse 2, talks about how they were to strengthen the stakes, alluding to the tent pegs of the revived tabernacle. And I think this was potentially fulfilled in how they strengthened the city. And yet, despite all that, despite the opportunities to have absolute success in what they were doing, the whole restoration project, if you like, didn't really come to the fruition that it could have done. That's why when they finally dedicate the rebuilt temple, some people cry, some people rejoice. Those who rejoiced did so on a surface level because the job was done. But those who wept, I think, thought of the potential that was possible in Ezekiel 40 to 48 and elsewhere, and they saw how Judah had just failed to fulfill it. And you read in Nehemiah 3 how there was different levels of response to this call of God to do his work. You read how some people repaired more than their section of the wall. Other people, it says about the Tekoites, their nobles didn't put their necks to the work of their Lord. So greater or lesser devotion to the Lord's work has been preserved in these records. So then, all the time, they had the prophecies behind them. Isaiah 41 talks of how the goldsmith was to be encouraged by the carpenter in building the wall. And that is really what happened when we read about how goldsmiths and carpenters worked together in Nehemiah 3 in building the wall. So then, at that very time, Isaiah 41 seems to talk about a saviour coming from both the north and the east. Now, Babylon was to the east of Judah, yet the approach road came down from the north. So I think there was the possibility that some saviour messianic figure could have arisen at that time. But all those who could have fulfilled it, like Zerubbabel, the branch from Babylon, as his name means, they somehow didn't. And so all these prophecies were delayed to the, or reinterpreted to the time of the Lord Jesus. We also read in Nehemiah 3 about how they split up the wall and the work of rebuilding into portions. But portion is the word that's elsewhere translated measure. And no fewer than 24 times in Ezekiel 40 to 48 are we told that the temple was to be built by measure. And as I say, this is the word used of how Nehemiah gave various groups of Jews their own measure or their own portion in the work of rebuilding Jerusalem. He measured out the work of rebuilding Jerusalem. And that's, again, a reference to the prophecy in Jeremiah 31, 38 to 40. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hanameel to the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gareb, shall go round to Goath, etc. So this measuring line, this is the word for the giving of measures or portions, which you find, as I say, in Nehemiah 3 and elsewhere, that they were all given portions of work around the city wall. Well, those restoration prophecies didn't come true fully. They could have done, but they didn't. And so it's always so sad when potential is missed. It's why we mourn the death of younger people more than perhaps we do of older people, because we think, what could have been? And, you know, we have to look at ourselves and think of the tragedy of our own lives as they have been so far, because there's been so many missed opportunities, and to ensure that that isn't the case, and to do what we can from our whole heart and soul so that that will not be the case with us, so that we, by God's grace, will fulfill the potential that He has for us.